News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.
And I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair, Caroline Jackson. She's the CEO of Jackson Stone Recruitment. Caroline, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Bobby. Good morning.
Now, lovely to meet you. Tell us about your early years. I know you grew up in Mount Marion, Tresian School, off to UCD to do arts. What were your early thoughts about your career, your life, and your ambition?
Early thoughts were, like many, I have no idea. Yeah. I don't know what I want to do, but I know what I like doing. And I enjoyed, horses were a major part of my growing up. I enjoyed school very much. I went to the Theresian School in Donnybrook there from kindergarten, so from 4 years of age right up to my leaving cert. So I was like part of the furniture, and it made the transition to UCD quite difficult. And my first year in UCD, I absolutely detested it. I think I was a fish out of water for sure. But then something happened over the summer after my first year, and everything fell into place, and then I never looked back, and I absolutely adored it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we nearly lost you to the world of high finance when you took up a role at BCP Stockbrokers. Mm. I see they're for sale in today's today's paper.
Yeah.
If you're interested in buying them.
Right.
But after that, then you did a year odd there. Then you were in Atlas Recruitment. And was it there? Like, you've obviously been in the recruitment business since then. So What made you want to go out on your own, or what was the what spurred you out of Atlas into your own business?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. One being just being me. I don't think I was ideally suited to work for somebody else. Very much had my own ideas, and I think I was probably always destined to do something on my own, but I didn't really know what that was going to be. But when I went into Atlas, and the training was interesting there, they offered me a job. I went in saying, look, I think I want to change. I'm not sure I want to stay in this role, but here's what I've done. And they identified that I could sell, I could deal with people, I could, I was a self-starter, and lots of qualities required to be a recruitment consultant. So they offered me the job as a financial recruiter. And I said, well, I've never done this before. And they said, look, don't worry, we'll train you. No problem. And I said, okay, well, you're on. And the training, I walked in the first day, they gave me a video and put me in the boardroom and said, there you go. And then handed me a yellow pages and a phone. So it was sink or swim, Bobby, and that worked out okay. But I felt that there was something different, a different way of doing the recruitment. I felt it wasn't really professional enough. There was too much focus on getting numbers on the board, figures, and not enough about the quality and doing the right thing by both parties. And I saw an opening there. And that, coupled with a good friend of mine who was working in the Sunday Business Post at the time in the recruitment advertising section, and we said, look, there's something here, and we could start our own business and do things in a different way with a new level of professionalism.
That business started in 1999. Before the expansion of the EU in 2004, and I recall this vividly because I was somebody who was trying to get staff in those days, you embarked on a crusade to Slovakia, Belarus, Estonia, and other markets to bring these wonderful people to our shores to take up employment. And many of them are still here to this day. And tell us a little bit about those years.
Well, I mean, wow, when I think back to it, it was just incredible. I mean, when we started the business, our idea was to stay away from hospitality and retail because it was an impossible area to recruit for at the time, as you will probably remember. People were, they had gone beyond, you know, cleaning, washing plates, making beds, serving customers, stacking shelves. You couldn't get people to do it. And so we said that was not going to be our area. But we were constantly getting calls from local businesses saying, can you please help us? We're, you know, this is really difficult. If you could find a solution, the business opportunities would be fantastic. And again, a chance thing happened. Bobby, a local businessman who had some business out in Belarus, he also had a farm in County Wicklow, and he said he had tried to get people from Belarus to work permits to come and work in Ireland, and they were all refused, even though he had no applicants from Ireland. So we said we'd have a look at this, and we took on the project. Again, I'm very much a problem solver by my nature. So when I saw that something couldn't be done, that doggedness in me said, well, let's see if we can crack this. So we set up to go to Belarus and interview. We lined up 100 people to interview with the idea that we would select 10, the absolute best 10 for two businesses in Ireland. This was our pilot study. And we went over and we interviewed them. It was very hard to choose because they were all phenomenally good and so motivated to come and work. So this was very refreshing. So we applied for all the work permits and they were all refused. And we were furious. And they got us at a good time, fire in our bellies. I demanded a meeting with Mary Harney. She was not available, but we met with Tom Kitt. We presented our case to him, everything we'd done, the lengths we'd gone to select the best and do everything properly. And he was very, very receptive to it. And he said, please apply for those work permits again, which we did. They were all granted. And next thing we knew, you know, the phones were hopping. All the stores, SuperValu, Musgraves were extremely delighted that this was an opportunity or a way of solving a massive problem for them. You know, one of the local businesses, I remember meeting the man and he was broken. He was starting at 5 a.m. to open the stores, stacking the shelves himself and being there till 11 o'clock at night to close up. And he was, I'd say, a step away from a heart attack. And I remember meeting him a couple of years afterwards and he had had a nice holiday. The business was great. He was lining up to sell it and it absolutely changed his life, as well as changing the life of all the people we brought over from Slovakia, Estonia and Tunisia.
Yeah, no, they're great and well done you. That was a wonderful contribution as well as a good business model. The crash of 2008, Caroline, the business was effectively wiped out. So you went from this high and this boom of bringing in all these wonderful employees to having no business almost overnight.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, that was, yeah, it was an absolute crash in every sense of the word. We had scaled back on that business because after the enlargement of the EU in 2004, a lot of the Polish people coming in directly. So the retailers and the hospitality folk didn't need our intervention quite as much. So we pivoted again away back to what we had started out to do was office support and general recruitment. And then, yes, very much so. It was like a overnight, I remember I was on maternity leave. I had appointed a general manager. We were looking to hire another 10 consultants. And I got a call saying, Caroline, there's something going on. You need to come in. And I went in and all our beautiful whiteboards with all the lists of jobs we were working on, day by day, the jobs were just getting wiped off. And before we knew it, there was no jobs. I had to let everybody go. And that was the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life, I think, thinking back to it. But everyone was so good. They understood they couldn't do their job. There was no jobs to work on. There was no hiring to be done. So we went from very successful down to nothing. I kept one person who wanted to stay with me. She's still with me today. I don't know what I'd do without her, Brida Dunhu. But she, we stuck it out. I took no salary for 2 years and we became like a counselling service for people who were being made redundant. And that is what we did for the guts of a year and a half. But an opportunity did present itself along the way through that, which helped us get back in the saddle.
So you're back now with from those days, the temporary staff, the flex people service that you have. You've got people working at the rugby in the Viva today.
That's right, yeah.
So tell us how that model actually works.
Well, it's that came about. We always did a little bit of it, but it was very much a secondary service. But now it is definitely at the forefront of our business. So it's temporary, but it can be long-term temporary as well. It's flex people. So it's when you need to expand and contract your business, your workforce, but you don't want to drag on your own resources. It's very hard to recruit. It's very hard to find the people, to bring them on board and all of the associated resources that you need. So people can come to us and we will manage the whole thing. So, for example, some pharmaceutical firms that we work with, if they have, let's say, a product they need to get out quickly, but they don't want to expand their workforce, themselves.
We'll give them 20 people. 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it is.
And rather than all the associated work behind the scenes for them, they get one bill from us and the people arrive. So it's convenience. It's about convenience and it's about giving flexibility. And that's exactly what it does. The Aviva one is kind of like a personal project of mine to help students who want to get a bit of work experience So they get out there, as I did when I was a student working in the Point Theatre, as it was then, and things like that, which just really, they don't realise it, but they're getting a great bit of experience.
A couple of other things I wanted to ask you about the business. You say references are a problem, that nobody wants to give one, but everybody wants one. How do you sort of counteract that?
Well, we find in our experience and our research is that businesses are happier to talk to a third party rather than to a company directly. So we find it easier to get references than an individual business might. And that's probably due to all the contacts we have. We probably have been dealing with the business that we're looking for the reference from. It's very difficult. It is problematic. And it is a stumbling block for many companies in their hiring process. So we are actually working on something called compatibility assurance to help companies make the right choice, and also the person they're hiring. It has to be right for them as well. So we dig in a little deeper to try and make sure that all the checks and balances, everything stacks up for a longer longevity in a placement and introduction.
Just wanted to ask you as well, Caroline. It's an employees' market at the moment. You say that, you know, candidates are below par. That's an issue for everybody.
That is an issue for everybody. And it was discussed at an IBEC meeting during the week that everybody is finding that the calibre of candidates applying directly to companies is well below par. We discovered last year was probably the worst year for permanent recruitment that we've had for several years. And we weren't alone. All our competitors were exactly the same. And it was really hard to get good candidates. And what we've found our success has been over the last year and will be continue to be is our own database that has been building up for 25 years. We were 25 years in business last year. So we're going and digging very deep into our own database and using our contacts there to actually go and find people, because the applications direct, they're just not happening.
Okay. So what's next for the business then? Finally, Caroline?
Next for the business is to continue what we're doing to develop this compatibility assurance as a standalone service, so that businesses, even that aren't using our recruitment or our introductory services, can avail of that to help make choices that are right for them and get in. If you're buying a car that has been out on the road already, you're going to look under the bonnet. That's a prudent thing to do. So I think it's really important, and it will give people a bit more confidence to get back into hiring to develop their own businesses, because that has been a problem for them in the last couple of years with the uncertainty in the world, I think, in general.
All right. Well, it's an interesting story. Caroline Jackson, CEO, Jackson Stone Recruitment, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Bobby.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.